The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studios. I told you a couple of hours ago at the beginning of the show, and nothing has subsided in me. I am incredulous at the lack of police response, at the lack of response from any men. But this terror rampage at the downtown Seattle Target store, it is our top story.
The Big Lead, top story.
Well, as you heard in our Big Lead a couple of hours ago at noon, I remain incredulous at this great exclusive story that our news partners at Cairo 7 and reporter Gary Horker got about a really terror rampage at the downtown Seattle Target store. Reporter Gary Horker joins us here on Cairo Radio. Gary, always good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you too, sir.
So you heard a little bit of my noon spiel. I was pretty worked up about this, Gary.
Well, you're not the only one, and that's one of the reasons why at the beginning of that piece I said, you know, this video is going to really anger people.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's going to anger people on many different levels. Once this the levels of this story start to unfold.
Let's go through this kind of chronologically here. So first of all, in case people haven't heard the story yet, haven't seen the video, so there's a 41-year-old career criminal named Jason Lewis. He goes into the downtown Target store. You obtained the surveillance video. What did this guy do?
So on the 17th of August, he goes in at about 8 o'clock. Store's full of people. This store, if you haven't been in there, it's multi-floors, and so it's got escalators. It's a different kind of Target, not the traditional big box kind. This is more vertical. And he goes up to what I understand was the second floor and goes right up to electronics. And according to the court documents that I've scoured through, different sources say that he went off on a tirade, started confronting a lot of the employees, threatening them. He wanted them to open up a box with Apple Watches, Apple iPads, MacBook Pros, and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So what happens next is when they stand their ground and they don't really respond to him, and it's certainly they're not going to, you know, oblige his request. He didn't appear to have a weapon at the time. He headbutted one of the sales associates who appeared to be a woman. I don't know.
Yeah, it looked like a woman to me.
Overhead video.
Yeah.
So then what they're told to do is back off within 30 seconds. That's in Target. Their PR people said that they were told to back off for their own safety. They did have loss prevention managers following them around. And I did hear Ursula and some other people say, oh, we saw people videotaping him and video recording with their smartphones. I believe the person that was the lead in that was the loss prevention manager.
Okay. Yeah.
That's what I'm led to believe.
Okay,
he starts to kick the case. Failing that, he gets on his back. He kicks it with both feet. And then he picks up a display, uses it as a big bludgeon, tries to break it. Failing that, he rips off the monitor on top of it. And then he, as you see in the video, the shocking part, Dory, is that he's so desperate to crack this thing open and so completely devoid of any, you know, conscience of, like, somebody's going to take me out or tackle me. What he does is he pushes this big, heavy case, which, according to the court documents, was very, very heavy. He couldn't lift it. Pushes it down the escalator with two or three people just diving out of the way. And when you see how quickly this thing comes down, it would have wiped out anybody who was below him.
Yeah, no, that it almost certainly would have killed somebody, but the last person had to kind of sprint down the last couple of stairs of the escalator. So then the guy, as he's going out of the store, he's put a bunch of stuff in duffel bags. The loss prevention guy kind of approaches him, but then backs off right away, and they let the guy walk out, right?
Well, he put his hand on the guy. My understanding is the policy is they do not do hands-on. They were, and believe me, everybody in there was calling 911. And we did a time lapse. It was about 15 minutes. There were no police officers there. There were no police officers able to respond. I don't know what the circumstances were. Pressed in at other scenes. I don't know. Here's the follow-up. Later that night, he broke into a car in West Seattle. A couple of guys held him down and waited for the police to show up. He had the bags, the duffel bags, which, by the way, he stole from Columbia across the street,
yeah, yeah.
And along with the clothes he was wearing, he was still wearing the clothes with the Columbia tags on him. And they arrested him. They put him in the King County Jail, charged him with vehicle prowl. He was let out 19 hours later. He went back to that Target two more times before the 21st of August. The last time he went in there was the time that the police actually chased him down and caught him.
Okay, but back up just a second here, because I am incredulous. And we called Seattle police. They said they couldn't talk to us about this because it had already been referred to the prosecutors. We haven't gotten heard back from the prosecutors. How in the world does somebody this dangerous, somebody who is this potentially deadly, go before a judge and get released 19 hours later, Gary?
You know, that's a judgment call that I'm not paid to make, but I will tell you that if they'd looked into his criminal history, he came here from Texas. He's been here for just under 4 years. Ursula is right. Some of his criminal history includes threat of terrorism, assault with a deadly weapon, obstruction, escape. It just goes on and on. The guy was a long criminal history.
Right.
What I want to know, what we're trying to follow up on, is how the guy got here and why he was here. He doesn't seem to have any connections, and this will come as no surprise to you. His address was listed as the Compass Center, 77 South Washington, underneath the viaduct.
And he came here, but the reason druggies from all around the country are coming here is because we are the path of least resistance. We're the place where we're thinking about giving them a place to shoot up, where city council members are thinking about taxpayers buying the heroin for them, and where they can commit the most heinous of crimes and be released by a judge 19 hours later. I'd come to Seattle too, if I was an out-of-my-mind criminal druggie.
Well, as a practical matter, that's what happened. And so there's a number of takeaways here. But I think the question we're asking Seattle police and the prosecutor and, you know, the King County Jail is, you know, the timing of all this thing. If somebody's going on a rampage and just taking their time to go on a wild vandal, you know, he was vandalizing the store while he was taking merchandise, and he filled up two duffel bags, super heavy duffel bags, and he was never in a hurry and never really seemed worried that police were going to show up.
Right.
And they didn't.
But the other thing, Gary, is shoving that 100-pound display case down an escalator that had people on it, that's assault with a deadly weapon. My mind is blown. And then the other question, you made a great point. The reason they finally caught this guy is because two people pinned him down when he was car prowling in West Seattle. It took a couple of citizens to stop this guy. And as I was watching that Target video, Gary, I said on the air, where are all the real men? What has happened to real men in our city? Police aren't doing anything. They're depolicing. They're afraid that they're going to have more paperwork than it's worth. And it's going to take some real men, and I am being gender specific here. Why didn't somebody go to Sporting Goods and grab a baseball bat and stop this guy? I really don't understand how so many in our society are willing to stand by and watch the criminal drug vagrants take over our streets and our stores.
Yeah, and that's hard to comment on unless you're actually confronted with a situation like that, Dory. And God forbid you and I are, because there's a part of me that wouldn't really trust what I would do in that situation if my family were involved. But if it's somebody who might be armed, there's no question. You and I are probably both going to back away and hope cops show up. That's exactly what they did. So, I know that that's a question, and your testosterone wants to, surge out when you see something like this. Guy wasn't a big guy, but, he definitely could have been armed.
Right, but a couple of guys in West Seattle were willing to do that, to stop the car prowl and to corral this guy. But again, that shouldn't even have been necessary because he shouldn't have been released 19 hours after standing before a judge.
Well, that in hindsight seems absolutely clear. So that's what we're following up today. We're trying to figure out a lot more about how this thing broke down and how he was able. By the way, that wasn't the only thing he did. I also talked to people who managed Belltown Storage, and he went in there. He threatened to kill the manager and the assistant manager.
Jeez.
And when I said, well, what was the threat about? He said, well, he challenged them to tell them the truth. And when they said, well, we don't know what the truth is, and he looked them square in the eye and he said, I am the truth. So clearly you're dealing with somebody who's, you know, got severe mental illness.
Sure, yeah.
In addition to a lot of other problems, right? So,
well, I know you're...
festered and then blew up.
Yeah, I know you're doing lots of great follow-ups. What time that's going to be on this afternoon?
If you watch between 5 and 6:30, there'll be a number of follow-ups, and I'm sure we'll have a little something tonight at 11.
Okay, all right. Well, it was a great story, great exclusive that you guys got. And Gary, I always appreciate having you on. Thanks for doing that with me.
Sure, Dory, anytime.
See okay, you. Gary Horker, he'll have a lot more on Cairo 7 News this afternoon, beginning at 5 o'clock. Up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Big Local.
Our governor, Jay Inslee, still running for president in 2020. He was back in New York on CNN earlier today, and he told the CNN audience exactly what they want to hear, that Jay Inslee is on an anti-Trump mission.
You said of Democrats this election, we will rescue America from the grasp of an unhinged narcissist who is creating chaos.
Yes, I was being gentle that day, actually.
But is that the Democratic platform, just no Trump?
No, that is not. And that's an important question. I appreciate it. Look, we have governors in every state who are articulating a vision for economic growth to try to build a society where everyone can have a shot and a participant at a better day for their kids. That is the.
Okay, let me pause on this. What in the world do we have now nationally? He says, I want an economy where everyone wants a shot. News today, Hispanic incomes, highest in our nation's history. African-American incomes, highest in our nation's history. Unemployment for those groups, the lowest ever. Women's unemployment, lowest in 60 years. We have an economy where everyone has a shot. There are more job postings right now than there are people looking for jobs. If you want to succeed economically, the president has created an environment right now where you have a chance to. You have to take a little responsibility for your own life, and you have to stop being one of those socialist deadbeats who thinks that it's government's job to just take stuff from other people. But if that's your message, if your message is that our economy sucks, I understand the reasons people don't like the president. But economics should not be one of those reasons. So when Jay Inslee argues that we're finally going to give people a chance, we've got a pretty good economy for people right now. Middle class incomes. $61,000. That just came out a couple of days ago. Highest ever adjusted for inflation. Middle class is making more money now. Now, it may be a shrinking middle class, but middle class is making more money now. So when Jay Inslee argues that, it just sounds hollow.
Yes, I was being gentle that day, actually.
But is that the Democratic platform, just no Trump?
No, that is not. And that's an important question. I appreciate it. Look, we have governors in every state who are articulating a vision for economic growth to try to build a society where everyone can have a shot and a participant at a better day for their kids. That is the central message for Democratic candidates. And they're doing it from Nevada, where Sisolak has a good economic growth program, where Michelle Lujan Grisham in New Mexico has a clean energy program. They are articulating an economic message of growth throughout the spectrum of our society. And frankly, they don't need to talk about Donald Trump. And frankly, they aren't. And the reason is they don't need to. People have already had a belly full of.
when you analyze what he says, it was kind of like that when he tried to quote Martin Luther King. The long arc of history is long and it's historic. Listen to this. Let me go back here. Let me listen to this one.
They are articulating an economic message of growth throughout the spectrum of our society.
Okay, here it goes. Listen to this.
And frankly, they don't need to talk about Donald Trump. And frankly, they aren't. And the reason is they don't need to.
They don't need to talk about Donald Trump. And the reason is they don't need to. I want him to run for president so badly. I want to see the Trump-Inslee 2020 matchup.
People have already had a belly full of this. They're concerned about the chaos, both Republicans and Democrats. They want to check on some of the instability. Coming.
Okay, it just goes on and on and on. So it kind of drones on for a minute and a half. But then the big question, of course, is Jay Inslee, CNN asked him, going to run for president in 2020?
Are you going to run for president 2020?
I'm going to make sure every governor has a great shot in 2018. We'll see what will happen. And I think we're having a good candidate. I do hope that.
Are you opening the door? Will you close the door on the idea of running for president in 2020?
I don't know a Democrat alive who's closing any doors right now. This is a door opening year, 2018. But this is an election for the next 10 years, by the way, in governors because of this journey.
I understand. Yeah. I'm just talking about you.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about America.
America. So then the other thing that Jay Inslee said is he's really happy about this woman who's come forward with the attempted rape allegation against Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh.
Well, it's not the reason that we should explore this candidate's background in an appropriate way. The electoral consequences are not the reason to do it. The reason to do it are these are maybe 30 or 40 year ramifications for the liberties and freedom and ability to have health care.
Okay, so in other words, they don't like, he doesn't want Kavanaugh on the Supreme Court, and that's why he wants this rape investigation, which, by the way, brings me to the next story in our big league.
The big lead, top trending.
This whole Kavanaugh thing, it is one of the most nauseating political things you'll ever see. If you disagree with his ideology, that's fine. People disagree all the time. But what the Democrats are doing here to, and you know the whole allegation. A woman, 51-year-old woman says, when he and I were 15 years old, he was drunk at a party and he tried to pull off my swimsuit and he didn't succeed. And she said, oh, it was in front of another guy named Mike Judge. Mike Judge's attorney this afternoon just came out and said, my client has no recollection of it. So it's just somebody who's, by the way, a Democrat woman who is saying something happened 36 years ago when they were 15 years old. And I'm watching some of the coverage of that today. Here's a political correspondent on MSNBC.
She clearly considers this an attempted rape. She believes that if it were not for the severe intoxication of Brett Kavanaugh, she would have been raped.
Anna Marie Cox, your reaction to the attorney's description of this?
Well, it's definitely attempted rape. I don't see it any other way.
Really? So somebody says something with no corroboration that happened 36 years ago when they're both 15 years old, and this attorney on cable news says, oh, it's definitely attempted rape. It's just, it's absolutely nauseating. Here's another, the same person on MSNBC.
I also want to point out that there is a big difference between what happened with Anita Hill and what happened in this case, because it was children, two children. It was a long time ago, and it should be judged differently. But I think a parallel here is that we need to judge Brett Kavanaugh not just on what he may or may not have done, but how he treats a woman's pain.
We need to not judge him on what he may or may not have done. So if he didn't do it, then we shouldn't consider that. I mean, this is so sick. And I just think, you know, here's a guy, he's got daughters who are, you know, young teenage girls, and they're watching what these soulless evil devils are doing just to try to stave off his nomination. And, you know, if some evidence came out that he did what he's accused of, but this is just, you wonder why I hate politics so much and politicians, that they dredge this up in a, you know, last second Hail Mary attempt, and this guy's daughters have to listen to all this crap. It's really, really about as evil as humanity gets when you look at our political process in this country. That is your big lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Check the news and then our favorite sound bites of the day coming up next. It is that time of the day when we like to count down our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Doring Monson's Awesome Audio Clips of the Day.
Awesome Audio brought to you by Brown Bear Car Wash. Overnights are in for the Emmy Award telecast. Lowest ratings by far. The more political they get, the lower the ratings get. I don't know why the Hollywood people think we want to hear them spew their nonsense. There was one moment, a guy named Glenn Weiss, he won Best Director of a Series or Special, and this was the moment that everybody thought was beautiful last night.
Number three.
I'm really grateful to be here, but it's bittersweet. The person most proud at this moment would be my mom, and she passed away just 2 weeks ago. My part of my heart is broken. I don't think it will ever be repaired, but she's in me, and she always will be. Mom always believed in finding the sunshine in things, and she adored my girlfriend, Jan. Jan, you are the sunshine in my life. And Mom was right. Don't ever let go of your sunshine. You wonder why I don't like to call you my girlfriend? Because I want to call you my wife.
So it's showing this woman sitting in the stands and the crowd's going crazy.
I didn't ask yet. Hamish, I'm going to be a moment. This is the ring that my dad put on my mom's finger 67 years ago. And to my sisters and brothers, I didn't swipe it. Dad knows I have it, okay? Jan, I want to put this ring that my mom wore on your finger in front of all these people and in front of my mom and your parents watching from above.
She's sobbing.
Will you marry me?
So, as I was watching, what did you two think about the proposal?
That was kind of the, well, I mean, it's cheesy. It's a little cheesy, but her cry was like, I mean, it was very sweet, but it was kind of the ugly cry. It was an obnoxious cry.
I hate public proposals.
I'm not a huge fan.
And nobody's more of a sentimentalist than me, but you're making it about you when you do it that way.
That's most of the chatter today is about that.
Yeah.
I got an alert on my phone that happened. Yeah, I thought that was very odd.
The whole thing, look at how wonderful I am to be proposing to you in this way. That marriage won't last.
I went to that Adam Carolla show last week.
Yeah.
And he had somebody propose to the girlfriend in front of all of us.
Yeah, I just...
It's awkward and I don't know.
Of course
she's going to say yes regardless.
Yeah.
You have to say yes.
But when a guy does that, you're like the ones who do it on the big screen at the stadium. So everybody in the crowd, oh.
Well, at least this has never been done. Those have been done.
I know.
Like, everybody proposes at games. This has at least never been done.
But a proposal, it just seems to me, is I love you. I want to spend the rest of my life with you. And
I think the intent is to give her that moment.
I'm sure
I don't think
it
he
is.
Means to take it all to himself. I mean, he may, but I think that's different individually. A lot of times it's for the woman.
I think guys who do that, it's an incredibly, and like I said, nobody's more of a weepy sentimentalist than me, but I just think that that's a narcissistic thing for the guys to do, and I'm not a fan. Now look at me, I'm just yapping all through.
Never mind number one.
Yeah, I'll play the rest of them. I'll play the rest of our awesome audio later tomorrow or something. What do you think about
better.
Those public proposals? The Online Trading Academy text line is 98973. 98973. Today's sign is coming up next. The stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. Oh, I got a lot of good stuff still to come in today's edition of
Today's Sign that the End is Near.
Today's sign the world is soon coming to an end. Dateline Seattle. We have the worst property crime in Seattle of any major city in the country. And that is because of all the depolicing. The fact that our cops are not allowed to do their job, the fact that we have a city council that is as incompetent as a public body can get. Auto thefts in North Seattle are now up 10%. It was already horrible, and it's up 10% in North Seattle. Our news partners over at Channel 7 Cairo TV, they talked to a daughter and employee who had their car stolen.
My daughter had her car stolen this summer, at the end of the summer, and an employee had their car stolen just recently as well. Both were found, thankfully, little damage.
That's a salon owner in Greenwood, Tara Roberts, who told me about, you know, two people, told Cairo 7 about two people close to her, her daughter and her employee. And here's how they try to prevent the thefts.
She told me to take the CDs out. They were actually down at the bottom. She said, I want to avoid anyone, you know, looking in and being tempted to trying to, you know, get inside the car.
Yeah, you can't leave anything. You cannot leave a crumb in your car or they will smash the window. Seattle police, they said that they now have these high-tech 360-degree license plate readers that they hope will help with the problem. But for the citizens, they say, we're not seeing enough cops out here.
I think that having more presence in the neighborhood would be helpful. But if that's going to be something that helps, I'm all for it.
Yeah, 10% auto thefts are up. And, you know, the other city that's as whacked out politically and socially as Seattle is San Francisco. And I saw the saddest story down there. Some people put paint, you know, the kind of paint that people put on their cars when they graduate from high school or their kids playing in the state tournament. They use that kind of window paint on this Toyota that I have a picture of. And they wrote, thank you for letting this glass remain unbroken. For a year and a half, our car was vandalized four times in San Francisco. We are a poor family with two kids, no values inside except diapers. And that's what people have taken to. They are now begging the criminals to not smash their windows, not get in their cars. They're begging. And Inside Edition, they were doing a story in San Francisco about all the crime there. They were they put out a bait car for smash and grabs, and they were successful. Some people did smash it, and they got it on film. But then, well, you got to listen to this from Inside Edition.
Our GPS shows they hopped on this local bus. We took off after them when they got off at a bus stop. The chase is on.
He went down there.
We finally catch up to them at this subway entrance.
I'm Lisa Guerrero with Inside Edition. You've got my speaker right there. You just broke into our car.
What?
We've got it on camera. You're going to want to give that back.
We follow him as he retreats into the subway.
5 million people are going to see you steal that. So you can choose to give it back or not.
He refuses to give it back.
Stop. I'm just going to call my mother.
You should call your mother. That is an awesome idea. Can I talk to your mom?
He leaves it on the ground and walks off.
Okay, so while the Inside Edition crew is chasing down this guy who stole their stuff, as they were chasing him, some other people broke into the Inside Edition work van, a second theft concurrent with that one.
While we were in his home, his cameras caught another break-in. Hey, wait a second. That car looks familiar. It's our crew car.
Unbelievably, when we were inside conducting the interview, thieves came out here and they broke into our crew truck. Check this out. They broke this window and the back window, and they stole thousands of dollars worth of our equipment, so we actually got hit twice in one day.
It's unbelievable. It is just unbelievable how rampant all of this stuff is. All right, and then finally in today's Sign, this is about as creepy a story as you are ever going to hear. Father down in Florida has been arrested because he drove his 15-year-old son to a local park so his son could have a late-night sexual encounter with the son's girlfriend, who is also 15 years old. So what happened here was 11:30 last evening, one evening, or last week one evening, 11:30, a cop spotted a Toyota parked at this park in Port St. Lucie, Florida. The patrolman approached the car and saw a 53-year-old guy in the driver's seat. He asked him what he was doing, and the guy explained that his son had asked him to pick up his girlfriend so that the two kids could go to the park and, as the dad said, do their thang. And they even spelled it T-H-A-N-G in the police report. And the father said, yeah, I wanted them to be able to do the things that kids do. And when the patrolman asked for clarification, the dad said, well, it's not like the kids are out here stealing. He said, they're just having sex. The cop interviewed the teenagers, and he asked them what they were doing in the park, and they said, oh, we were just smoking and bleeping. The cop asked the boy if his father knew what they were doing. The kid laughed. The girl confirmed that she and the boy were engaged in sexual activity. When she was asked if the boy's dad knew what they were doing, she said, well, he drove us out here. How creepy is this dad? What kind of a pervy dad is driving his son and girlfriend so that they can go and, you know, do all of that? So the dad posted $750 bond. He's facing a misdemeanor charge. I don't know. This dad sounds really creepy, pervy, if you ask me. Oh, man. All of that is today's sign.
What's it gonna be, boy? Yes or no? What's it gonna be, boy? Yes or
no? That the end is near. I gotta get out of here. I have said everything that I have to say for today. But I'll think up a bunch of new stuff for tomorrow's show. I want to thank Brock Heward and Dave Wyman for coming on with me this afternoon. And I want to especially thank you for listening. I like hanging out with you in the afternoons. The Ron and Don Show is coming up next. And I will see you back here tomorrow. I knew.
And on my mother's grave that I would love it till the end of time. I swore I would love it till the end of time. So now I'm praying for the end of time to hurry up and arrive. Cause if I gotta spend another minute with you, I don't think that I can really survive. I'll never break my promise or forget my
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.